Seatbelts on, check your mirrors, volume up. The Under Construction Podcast with Aidan Power and Pat Moore starts now. Hello and welcome to episode 3 of Under Construction with Chadwicks. I'm Aidan Power alongside Pat Moore. Pat, how are you?
Very well, Aidan. Very well. Good to see you again.
Always good to see you, my friend. So this week, our topic is timber. Timber and hardwoods. I know it's obvious to say both hugely popular, but we've seen it in the past couple of years. The demand is crazy.
Oh, look, demand is shot through the roof, particularly for the homegrown timber.
Timber's a huge part of Chadwicks business and the wider Chadwicks group.
Yeah, look, timber has been a significant part of the Chadwicks business and, as you just mentioned there, the wider group. So Morgan's been a hardwood business. Darren McLaughlin, who we're going to interview, he's travelled the world sourcing product for us. So he's, you know, he's been to America, he's to South Africa, you know, he's been to China and sourcing these kind of products. So there's a more demand and people are starting to widen their scope around their timber products. So you will see, you know, all the programs you saw doing DIY SOS, all the panelling outside now, the timber panelling. Is really coming into fashion. So he does a good bit of stuff around that. Then on the, you know, on the construction side, it's really all about stuff that's all about timber that's really hidden in the house. So your joists and your timber frames for your truss for your roof and, you know, so all that's in there. So they're two separate kind of businesses in one sense from a fashion perspective, but both significantly important to us as a business.
All right. And we're going to cover both aspects of that on the show today. As we mentioned, the aforementioned Darren McLaughlin, he's the general manager at Morgan's Timber. That's on the hardwood side of things. And then Mike Glennon for maybe a lot of the wood that you don't see, but that's used in buildings and in your houses and other places. Mike Glennon, who's a supplier of the Chadwicks Group from Glennon Brothers Timber Limited. They're coming up. All right, time to welcome our first guest this week. He's the general manager at Morgan's Timber, which is Chadwicks Group Company, and he is Darren McLaughlin. Darren, good morning to you.
Morning, Aidan.
Thanks very much for joining us. So tell us a bit about Morgan's. You have a long and storied history.
That's it. We were established over 100 years, based down in the Bond Road, down in the Keys, down in the docks. Years ago, we used to actually dry our timber. So most of the timber would have been coming in from Africa and the lads would have had kiln drying down there. They stopped that in the noughties. It just didn't make any economic sense. Most of the timber was coming in pre-dried then. So we were basically specialists in importation in American, African, European hardwoods and your premium softwoods.
And in that time, because it's what, almost 100 years, if not more, how's the products that you deal with changed?
Very little, actually, because, you know, from your American hardwood standpoint, it seems to be the same. White oaks, walnuts, poplar, maple. Aesthetically, they're lovely looking timbers when they're planed up. European would be the same, European oak, beech, you know, live edge timber. And so, you know, even from an African point of view, you have your teak and your mahogany, so orokos and sapelis and utilities. So it hasn't changed an awful lot.
Some of your products are used extensively around Ireland. Most recently in the DIY SOS, you had your, I see you had your oroko timber there.
Yeah, thank you.
I think Baz loved it.
Yeah, they were commenting on there. Yeah, well, it's used mainly for external joinery. So if you think of electric gates and box section steels, you know, most of the time you'll see oroko timber in that. Possibly maybe utility, but oroko, it throws off a beautiful yellowy brownish hue. And if it's lacquered up, it's a gorgeous looking timber.
How big is your company, or indeed how small?
We're small.
And how much of it are you doing?
We're just five, and I'm very lucky to have Thomas Maloney in the sales office and Brian O'Rourke and the two lads out in the forklift, Ollie and Shea. So they work extremely hard and we punch well above our weight.
Okay, Doc, how long have you been with the company?
20 years in September.
Now, don't we know it?
We should establish, obviously, you gentlemen know each other, but you know each other quite well.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've come down and rescue him at the odd time, you know, to help him out, like get him into the...
And fairness, Pat's door's always open, so if you need any support, Pat's obviously commercial director.
I know nothing about hardwoods. All I can tell you, Aidan, is the smell in the warehouse is fabulous when you go in.
Oh, I bet it is, yeah. It's amazing when a microphone goes on and how polite these two lads are to each other.
They weren't before we started recording.
Obviously, what everyone is talking about, and us included on the podcast, is pricing and availability. So where is it at for you guys? And I guess, what are the challenges of that?
Well, there's a lot of challenges. I'd say mainly in the US, it's strong demand with a constrained supply. And the same as in Europe. I was just saying to Pat just off air, we went over to Wisconsin last November, just as soon as we could actually travel. And I took a customer over there just to solve a problem. He wanted a dimensional rip, he wanted to colour sort, and he wanted a length spec. So we sat around a table, five or six guys together, we solved the problem, and we bought 10 loads of timber that day, and it came in 2 weeks ago. So it took 6 months. Ordinarily, if you're taking containers from the States, you'd be talking 9-10 weeks max. So this took 6 months. So you really need to be on top of your brief when you're buying the timber from Africa. I still have 6 loads on, and that's a year and a half ago. The timber hasn't arrived. So there's a lot of issues. In America, the main issues I find seems to be truckers. They passed the law for truckers to use tachographs. A lot of the truckers left the industry because of that. It's a good thing, but they left. Drayage equipment is a problem. COVID, obviously, is a major issue. But just trying to get the timber on time is fraught with danger. I think Russia exported 5 million cubic metres in 20 to 21. All that timber's gone. So there's serious pressure on Finnish suppliers and Swedish suppliers. But again, there's a strong demand, constrained supply. The price is going to go up. Fuel prices, and then obviously the Ukraine, it's uncertain, and the market's going to be volatile.
So when you're dealing with your customers then, and they're demanding things at a certain price and on a certain date, that must be a challenge as well.
It is, but the most important thing you have to have for your customers is their product. So no matter how high the price goes, there still is that appetite for white oak. Even softwoods, I think the softwoods rose by 50% from January to May this year. So
50%.
So and that's obviously because of the situation in the Ukraine. So it's delicate, but what we need to be as a company is professional and find out exactly what our customers' needs are. And that means we have to have certain American hardwoods, African and European, on the ground on a regular basis. So, we've done our job to date, but it's been very difficult.
And I can tell you he has plenty of timber in the yard.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah. Well, now, I don't know, there's no camera here.
That's that's not a compliment. I'm just saying that's what he has.
Get it out, sell it.
I know, I think, look, to be fair to the guys, I think the one thing they have probably over everybody else in the marketplace is that professional customer service piece. So they do know what their customer wants. So they are working with them in relation to prices. If you keep the customer informed, well informed, it kind of, I suppose, puts that pricing piece down the scale of importance. The big thing is having the product on the site when the guys need it. That's the big one. And in fairness, the guys have plenty of stock there.
Yeah.
Sustainability is an important issue for everyone and something every company has to look at and implement some form of plan. How do you deal with it in Morgan's?
Well, we're very proud to be in an industry which is sustainable. We only buy from managed forests. And all those managed forests, 99% of the time, are backed up by certification such as FSC or PEFC and an independent third-party verification cert. So it's pretty watertight in America and Europe. We only use traders that have been dealing in Africa for a long period of time. And again, you're looking for FSC certified there as well. So sustainable, you're buying from managed forests, you're in an industry that's sustainable. And carbon, trees capture carbon. So you're carbon friendly there as well. So it's at the end of the life, it's failed. And from, FSC certification is more like traceability. So when you fail that log, and it goes to the sawmill, to the dock, wherever it goes in the world, you can follow that log. So the industry is fantastic and from an American point of view, pretty watertight. So sustainability, we have it, no question about it. And traceability, we have that with FSC.
And how do you foresee, if one had a crystal ball, the next 12 to 18 months playing out? Do you anticipate that things are going to get worse? There's going to be more challenges? Or perhaps, maybe, things will improve?
Well, it's hard to say. You need a crystal ball for that. What's going to happen with Ukraine? As I say, there's strong demand with a constrained supply with softwoods. I see probably a little bit of supply being freed up in the States, but you're still going to have that issue with logistics, So how do we get back to where we were 3 years ago when we were taking containers and getting it in Dublin within 10 weeks instead of 6 months? And in Africa, a year and a half. So, we just need to work really hard and be professional and each month, just take it as you find,
Where can people find out more about Morgan's Timber and what you got and what you do?
Yeah, well, look, we're brand building at the minute, Ian. You can find us in the Chadwicks Group website under brands, and you can dig down into Morgan's Timber. It'll give a brief summary and description of what we're trying to achieve and where we have been in the past. And we're based up on the Nace Road in Ashfield.
And you have a call-in service there, so you can call in.
Absolutely, from a retail perspective, absolutely. We deal a lot with the White Van Man, and I've mentioned them there 20 years. So we have most of the customers I've been dealing with 20 years are still there. So we deal with people from Coleraine to Cork.
And Dara, when the man in the white van, so to speak, is coming up, what are they looking for? Or is there anything that you can offer them that maybe they don't know about?
It could be a wide variety of things. Certainly coming into the summer, Aidan, you'd be talking about North American clears, which would be Western Red Cedar, Douglas Fir. When you lacquer that up, it's absolutely beautiful as a cladding. Now, we provide the protection oils for that also, which is Osmo. But we do a charred Douglas Fir as well, which is absolutely beautiful. And the guys on the street seem to be loving that. But it could be
this is all this new panelling that goes on the outside of the wall now, is it? That trend about, you'll see it in all the programmes.
Correct. You can have a smoked larch or you can have a black charred larch. Now, in most cases, it's not going to be larch because we can't get it anymore. It's coming from Russia. So it's Douglas Fir. So it's a North American clear. But we are selling a nice amount of that at the minute. But the cedar clad is a regular, your protection oils. And then obviously sheet material is huge, like Tricoya. I think we used that on two or three occasions in DIY SOS. It's something that you can use externally. And obviously your tropical and your tempered hardwoods is always a constant.
Aidan, you haven't asked for anything yet. You obviously don't
need any compass or decking.
You haven't looked for anything of your garden yet. So
I was just thinking,
maybe you're not explaining it properly.
I need a few bits of 2x1 for me. My brother's allotment that we're building something.
But that's actually huge because like 44B18x 2x1 is just constant. You know, people are doing their back walls, their back gardens, and their cladding with maybe a 3 or 4 mil. Gap, and it looks really rich. It's a beautiful looking timber outside, no question about it. But some people let it go naturally and it goes grey. I don't particularly like it. If you get your Osmo oil on that and you lacquer it up, it's like a patchwork quilt. It's beautiful, lovely, reddy hues from it. So beautiful.
And anything else new? I see you've got a couple of bits more in the warehouse that I didn't know you were taking in.
Yeah, well, look, we're doing door framing. We got into that there with, obviously we considered it, Pat, there a couple of months ago. So we have that in stock now. And obviously we've got involved in the internal doors. We deal a lot with fire door manufacturing. So your FT30 and FT60 doors, and we're doing the frames for those that'll complement that well.
And we also have an ironmongery business that look after the handles.
Well, that's one of the exciting things working with Chadwicks is the acquisitions. You know, in the case of Proline and Sitech was a recent one, but there is a synergy between Morgan's and Proline, obviously with your door frames and the ironmongery. So we've worked closely with Michelle and Jarlath in the last 6 to 12 months, and I have to say it's been a pleasure collaborating with Proline.
Darren McLaughlin, who is the General Manager at Morgan's Timber, which is part of the Chadwicks Group. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Building, roofing, plumbing, paving, painting, fencing, drilling or decking. Whatever the job, big or small, your local Chadwicks has everything you need. From power tools and plant hire to doors and floors, bathrooms, gardening equipment and more. Choose from a massive range, get expert advice and next day delivery. We have 40 branches around Ireland. See chadwicks.ie. Chadwicks, let's get it done. Terms and conditions apply. Well, Pat and myself are going to continue the conversation on timber on this week's episode of Under Construction. And we're joined by Mike Glennon, who is part of Glennon Brothers Timber Limited, supplier to the Chadwicks Group. Mike, thanks for joining us.
Delighted to be here.
Glennon Brothers. It's a name synonymous in Ireland with timber and with the GAA. And I'm guessing with a surname like Glennon, you're from the family business.
Yeah. Oh, GAA, hold on. Easy there now. Let's not go too far with the GAA thing. It's Longford.
Straight in with the digs.
Just saying.
It's not his fault they're rubbish.
Oh, but he's sponsoring them, so...
What return are you seeing on that investment? I'm only joking.
A lot of the houses are built by Longford Builders, by the way. Anyway, go on.
Family business. Tell us of the history.
So we're a third generation family business established in Longford in 1913 by two brothers who were in America, hence the name Glennon Brothers, and came home and heard there was a sawmill for sale, which they bought. And as business happens, the first few years were very good. Next few years, they went into recession and they reached the first difficult crossroads to realise the business wasn't big enough for both brothers. So the difficult decision to decide who would stay and who would go. So my grandfather stayed and my granduncle went back to America, never to return again.
Wow. I'd say there's more to that story than you're telling us, is there?
No, it's a very interesting story, and I suppose it tells us, you know, the faith of business, that, you know, sometimes things go a certain path and you have to readjust and re-engineer, no more than we all had to do at the time of the catastrophic collapse of the construction industry. Sometimes you have to re-engineer the business for the right solution.
So you've survived many challenges over the course of more than 100 years.
Yeah, many challenges. And I suppose the strength for us has been the relationship we've built with our customers, and Chadwicks is a fine example of that. And the core team of people we have in the business, they really are the core assets of Lennon Brothers.
So we were talking to Darren McLaughlin earlier, and we're particularly talking about the woods they supply, which are hardwoods.
Yes.
What types do you supply?
So we supply softwoods. So a lot of what we produce, people don't see. They're the rafters, they're joists, studs for internal partitions. Although we do decking and we do fencing as well. But a lot of what we do, the ordinary consumer doesn't see. But Chadwicks customers will be very familiar with our packaging in every Chadwicks branch throughout the country.
Like at Chadwicks, Mike he's one of two of our main mills, and that we provide our materials. So look, we're very proud of our collaboration with Glennon's. But Mike's been a bit coy, you know. The business is a wider business in relation to Glennon's and what they do. Most recently, acquisition of Balcast in the north of Ireland. Do you want to give us a bit of an insight into that, Mike?
So Glennon Brothers has really grown from, I suppose, a combination of robust organic growth and strategic acquisitions. So we've made a few acquisitions in Scotland, and last year we made our biggest acquisition to date, which was Balcast, which is a sawmill based up in Enniskillen, which also has an energy plant and it generates its own electricity, and also it has a plant in Invergordon which generates its own electricity and also generates wood pellets to heat many distilleries, hospitals, schools, and that whole area. And that's just that deal only went through in November last year.
So always growing, always expanding.
Yeah.
And where do you source your raw material?
So all our raw material is sourced in either Ireland or the UK. And in the UK, it's predominantly Scotland. So it's really Ireland or Scotland. All our material is sourced from FSC certified material. So anything that we consume, it's replaced and grown. In fact, one of the interesting things is that in Europe, and very few people know, that since 1990, the forest estate in Europe of softwoods has grown by 1,500 football pitches every day since 1990. So it is one of the growing assets that are there.
That's incredible. What trends have you seen since COVID? Have they changed since COVID?
The last few years have been quite, I suppose, unprecedented in the world of timber. Timber is an internationally traded commodity item, so prices go up and go down. So our first bump in the road was coming up to the first effort of Brexit at the end of 18-19, and there was a shortage of wood. And in the UK, which is the biggest importer of wood in Europe, they imported a lot of material before they Brexit came through, and timber prices went through an all-time high up to then. And then Brexit didn't happen, so all the UK people had bought and then they released their stocks, so prices came back down again. Then we moved into COVID, and in COVID period, there was restriction in production for the impact of COVID. And also another really important thing that people don't often get about timber, 90% of the products manufactured in Ireland and the UK move on wooden pallets. So the sawmilling sector was designated as a special area. So we were mandated to keep going during lockdown, but the direction of travel was produced timber for the pallet and packaging industry. So that meant less for the construction industry, less for the outdoor areas. And one of the things we all know through COVID was there was a phenomenal demand for garden decking and fencing and any DIY jobs. It was just unprecedented. So on one hand, you had this massive increase because people weren't going on holidays, and the second hand supply was curtailed. So that drove us through really, really rapid price increases during this area of restriction in supply and an increased demand. And that has abated, but now we've reached to the next move, which is the war in Ukraine. And Russia roughly supplies over 20% of the world's supply of softwood. And so that has had quite an impact. Now, half of their supply goes directly to China, and we don't expect that to be affected. But all the key players in the UK and Ireland have obviously condemned the Russian invasion, and the timber is regarded as conflict timber, so that can't move. So now we've reached another situation where there's an impact in the supply of material again. It's more pronounced in the pallet and packaging sector to date, but this issue is just unfolding as we speak.
You mentioned imported timber, and there's always an argument, you know that from the branches and the customers, you know, imported timber is better than native timber. What's your take, Michael? Or what can you assure customers in relation to that argument?
I suppose one of the key things is all our timber is graded to European standard, and that European standard sets the grade for materials. So homegrown timber naturally falls into C16, imported material does fall into C24, but it's the old classic case of you don't need a concrete beam to hold up a birdcage. So the reality of life is it's more than adequate. It fulfills every requirement. And I suppose the really important thing that is getting a lot of traction, you know, you're talking about trends, is the sustainability nature of it. Because using domestically produced timber for Irish houses or UK houses is becoming a very important trend. I mean, one of the things that we've noticed in particular under the disguise of COVID was, you know, sustainability is on everybody's agenda. Climate change is on everybody's agenda. And forestry presents a unique opportunity to help us with climate change. Trees take carbon from the air, absorb them in the material itself. So they call that the carbon sink. So forestry absorbs carbon from the air and releases back out oxygen. Then when you use timber products, we call it about the carbon store. So if you use timber products in construction, you're locking up this carbon that has been taken from the air, and you're storing that in a build. So it's locked up for the usage of the build. And even after that, it can be reused again because it's recyclable. And the other important thing, an important trend in timber, is with regard greenhouse gases. I mean, it takes 7 times more energy to produce steel. It takes 4 times more energy to produce cement. So timber is ticking all the boxes from a sustainability perspective. And one of the interesting things in our business is a recent investment we made in Scotland is we used the wood residue, as in the sawdust and the bark and some of the wood chips, we're using that in a CHP plant, which is a combined heat and power plant. That generates the heat to dry the wood, and it also generates electricity. And with a recent acquisition in Balcas, we actually now produce more electricity than we consume, albeit not in each site, but they're all connected to various national grids. So if we do the sum total of it here, we generate more electricity than we consume, and that's all by sustainable forest products. So it's a really strong green story.
And on the sustainability issue, in terms of replanting, deforestation, what efforts do you make there?
So this is, I suppose, a topic that's close to my heart. I mean, we in Ireland are uniquely positioned for forestry. So we can grow trees twice as fast as our Scandinavian competitors. So forestry has an inherent advantage in Ireland. Unfortunately, due to bureaucracy and legislation, we're failing to get this right. So on one hand, we have a government policy that talks about sustainability and climate change. And if we look at what have we done? Last year, we only planted 2,000 hectares, which is the lowest level of planting since 1946, while the government has a stated aim of reaching 18% land cover in forestry by, I think it's 2050, which would mean 17,000 hectares per annum. So in essence, we have a regulatory system that isn't fit for purpose, and we will miss the opportunity of capitalising on the natural advantage we have for forestry if we don't put it right. So it's a huge issue. We had a period, and Pat will know, where we had really chronic issues in the supply of wood to the Irish market. So we ended up having to get a ship chartered every 6 days to bring logs from Scotland to Ireland so that we could have material for Pat's customers. And that's the case of the legislation and the regulation is not fit for purpose. And we need to fix this if we're really going to benefit from the enormous benefits that forestry can bring to Ireland.
Okay, so that's on the government and other people to
correct
get the finger out and improve on that.
Correct.
Okie doke. In terms of the demand that was there during COVID, everyone building sheds, doing the deck and all that, has that somewhat subsided or is that demand still there?
What happened during COVID was, you know, unprecedented. It was just phenomenal. So that level of activity is still not there. But you are seeing, you know, and you can see from and Pat will know and your listeners will know, there's still a phenomenal demand for housing in Ireland. So, you know, the builders are still requiring more volumes of material for homes. I think the run rate in housing is now at 30,000 units per annum. So that's a key you know, the key driver of us is housing starts. So as housing starts go up, there's more demand for wood. There's still, you know, just to put it in context, there's still quite a good demand for fencing and decking, but it's more back in line with where it was in 2019 rather than what happened during the COVID period.
Yeah, in other words, when you were sitting at home during COVID, looking at all the stuff you needed for your house.
Yeah.
Now you're back working, you don't really care what you put back in your back garden. You've all that work done.
There's a touch of that, Pat. Yeah, there is a touch of that. Like I did up the back garden and I was looking at it the other day going, still need to finish that bit off. Ah, I'll get to it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. That kind of intensity and need to get it done straight away has waned a bit.
So Mike's had a relatively easy interview so far, you know, and I'm going to be in trouble with the steel suppliers and the concrete suppliers, cement suppliers, but I don't ask a few difficult questions.
You see the way he's just rolled up his sleeves, Mike?
Yeah, here we go.
Go on, Pat.
So, but Mike, look, a lot of customers listening will know pricing has been an issue for all of us in the industry. Where do you see the pricing going with timber for the next 6 months, and in particular then in relation to supply and any issues you see coming down the track?
Well, just stepping back a bit, if we go back to, I suppose, January 18, from January 18 to now, prices have gone up nearly 70%. If you go from June 18 to now, it's probably up, 60%, 58-60%. Now, and the worst thing about that is it hasn't been a gradual lift. There has been ups and downs during that overall upward trajectory, driven by Brexit, driven by COVID. So that's what has got us to where we are. The war in Ukraine, we'd expected it to flatten and to stay where it was. The war in Ukraine, because of Russia's importance as a global supplier, has brought this into sharp focus again. Our own view on it is that we've reached a height that it's likely to move up again, but not at the same rate and pace to which it has. The rate and pace which it has, I've never seen before, and I'm 34 years in the game. So I think the increases that will come now will be as a result of, you know, the phenomenal increase in the cost of energy, the phenomenal increase in the cost of transportation, all those other issues that every other sector is dealing with. You know, some of this already has been passed through to the market. But so our view is the next few months will be upward, but nothing like the rate of pace to which it was here before. And we do expect the supply situation to somewhat ease. I mean, there has been improvements made in the legislation in Ireland regarding felling licence, so that's not the hot topic that it was in the past. And we do believe that, you know, because it's an international traded commodity, while Russia, as I said, with 22% of the world supply, you know, half that went to China, that's still going to go to China. I think you're going to see shifts in where the material is. I think some of the European material that was heading to the States won't go as much to the States. More will be kept back at home. So I think you're going to see a more gradual landscape than we've had in the last 2 years.
Very good.
That answer your question, Pat?
No, not really. As usual, he's dodged the question.
Well, Mike, no further tough questions from Pat nor myself. So tell people where they can find out more about Glennon Brothers.
And we have a very close partnership with Chadwicks. So all our material is available through every Chadwicks branch throughout the country, and indeed in Cork Builders Providers as well, and Telford. So any there isn't, if you go into any Chadwicks branch, you can get our material.
And final question is, what are your hopes for Longford GA over the next 5 years?
We're very hopeful about Longford GA over the next 5 years. We have just completed a 10-year sponsorship with Longford GA. It's something we're all very, very proud of. So, you know, I'm optimistic. There's a great team of people down there.
Well, good luck with that and good luck with the business. Mike Glennon from Glennon Brothers Timber Limited, thanks for joining us. And that is this week's episode of Under Construction, all about timber. And Pat, as you pointed out to me, we got through that without pretty much any innuendo.
Very little innuendo. And also, we didn't get any product to your house, which was unusual for you.
I am not a scrounger. Stop trying to make me out to be one.
I'm just saying, you might have to modernise your back garden now when you hear about all the oak panelling and the Oroco panelling and Mike Glennon's C16 timber. So yeah, you did very well constraining yourself. I do
my scrounging in private.
Yeah, I can see you itching there.
From your point of view, I mean, I learned a huge amount of that. From your point of view, what are the big takeaways from talking to both Dara and Mike? Obviously every week and the topic of conversation for everyone is supply and demand.
Yeah, I think, look, that's one piece of it, and it is important. And I think, look, put the Chadwicks hat on, it is we pride ourselves in having product on the ground for our customers. But I think the conversation is also moving on in relation to sustainability, you know, and what we're, as an industry, what we're trying to do. And I think both Dara and Mike encapsulate that and what they're trying to do with the business.
You know, we are very conscious of where the timber is coming from. We're very conscious of how that timber is produced. We're very conscious of the traceability of that for our customers. So if, you know, and we mentioned earlier in another episode, like it's only when something goes wrong that these things all become really important. But the work that goes in behind the scenes, making it, putting that process in place is very, very important. And it's, look, I think it'll hold to us in a bit.
All right, from timber, we move on next week to steel. Who will we be talking to, Pat?
We're talking to the man of steel, Tom Noonan, the general manager. Yeah, Tom is in our steel factory for over 3 years now, and he has seen a significant transformation in the business and how steel is produced. So similar conversations in relation to the marketplace.
Tom, and Eugene Downey will join us too.
Eugene Downey, a long-standing customer of ours, so and hopefully we've done everything good for him, or else it's going to be a short podcast.
Right, until then, thank you for listening. Under Construction with Chadwicks, with Pat Moore and Aidan Power. The Under Construction podcast is produced by the Podcast Studios for Chadwicks, Ireland's leading building merchants company, where you can choose from the best products and expert advice to get the job done. Drop into any of your local Chadwicks stores nationwide or visit us online at chadwicks.ie.